Cloud seeding is a weather modification technique that aims to increase precipitation from clouds. And here's a step-by-step explanation of how it typically works. The big question, will it work in the National Capital Region if it's allowed to take place? Now, meteorologists identify clouds first up that are suitable for seeding. So there is a cloud selection process. These clouds must have sufficient moisture but lack the necessary conditions to produce significant precipitation like rain on their own. Now, common agents are used for seeding. This includes silver iodide that's often used because its structure mimics ice. Dry ice, in other words, solid carbon dioxide, when this sublimates, it cools the surrounding air, leading to the formation of ice crystals. Potassium iodide can also be used, or even calcium chloride. These are also chemicals which could be used to induce rainfall. Once these chemicals are selected, they are put onto dispensers on aircraft, and planes equipped with so-called burners or dispensers fly through or above a cloud layer to release the seeding agent. When the seeding agent is released, it acts as a nucleus around which water droplets can form or ice can crystallize, as you can see. You can see water droplets forming around in this nucleation process. As more ice crystals form larger water droplets, they grow by colliding with other droplets in the cloud. When they become heavy enough, they fall in the form of rainfall or snowfall. That depends really on the temperature that's there. Well, joining us now, Dr. Daniel Rosenfeld, professor at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, Professor S.N. Tripathi, Dean of the Kotak School of Sustainability at IIT Kanpur. We're also joined by Dr. R. Subramaniam, Sector Head of Air Quality at the Center for the Study of Science, Technology and Policy. They're all experts in this field. Let me go across to Professor S.N. Tripathi first. Professor Tripathi, what stops us from cloud seeding?
Well, I mean, the key thing is that when the fire has broken out, you don't dig the well. So, cloud seeding is an art and a science, and you must experiment it in order to perfect it. Of course, India has taken many initiatives related to cloud seeding over the last probably 7-8 years as a part of large experiment conducted by MOES. And now, IIT Kanpur has a fully instrumented aircraft, and a couple of sorties were conducted in Kanpur. And one of them, or two of them, were actually successful in terms of yielding some rain. So certainly cloud seeding can be done, but you need to have proper meteorological conditions. You need to see where do you seed, when do you seed, so that it yields optimal results. Now, that's part of the scientific aspects of it. The other more challenging aspect of it is to get clearances over Delhi, a national capital region, because we all know that it's a very crowded, air space. And being capital of India, it would require enormous number of different kind of clearances before it can be conducted. And those clearances do take time. And therefore, these kind of exercise needs to start a lot more earlier than now.
Professor Tripathi, you say that you've already done a couple of trial flights successfully. When did you do these and where did you do these and how much precipitation did it result in?
These experiments were done with IIT Kanpur aircraft. Once when that the seeding equipment was not installed on the aircraft, that was 3 years back. Just about, I think, it was before the COVID outbreak. And second was conducted last year when our Cessna aircraft at IIT Kanpur is possibly the only aircraft in India which is instrumented with cloud seeding equipment. And that successful trial happened last year, just about monsoon time.
And there was sufficient precipitation to prove the technology, right?
Well, I mean, the technology is proven elsewhere. In this case, rain happened. Certainly, you need a lot more substantiation by laying down ground-based rainfall, gauges and many other things to kind of do a control and the intervention to see the actual effect and size of the effect, when you conduct it, that kind of full-fledged, let's say a scientific experiment was not done, but we have a fairly good idea that on these two occasions, the rain happened as an outcome of the seeding we conducted.
Dr. Daniel Rosenfeld, in the context of the air pollution which we see over the Indo-Gangetic Plain now, do you believe as an outside observer that cloud seeding could be a quick solution to the distress that millions in this region find themselves in?
Certainly, adding rain would scavenge more air pollution. But the problem is that we need the clouds that are seedable, that are suitable for seeding, exactly at the time when you have the air pollution. The main reason for the air pollution to concentrate near the ground is the lack of vertical air motion that brings the air upward, that creates clouds that can be seeded. So unfortunately, it hardly ever happens that you may get clouds that can be seeded at the time of need for the extra rain for scavenging more air pollution. I think that this is a limiting factor. I would like really to commend the Indian scientists for making a good advancement in rain enhancement. But unfortunately, the conditions that are conducive for rain enhancement are exactly the opposite of the conditions that are enhancing the surface, the concentration of the air pollution near the surface. But I would like to offer another solution. In the middle of the winter, the heavy air pollution is associated with heavy fog. And the fog is a type of cloud that can be seeded by a different kind of method that could be actually precipitate. If you can convert the fog into precipitation, you actually deposit the fog with the air pollution that the fog droplets are forming onto the ground. This is a method that we are developing now at the Hebrew University, and maybe that might be a more productive direction to explore.
Dr. Subramanian, would you like to come in on that? I think what Professor Rosenfeld says is fascinating, that we may not necessarily have the conditions present now to have successful cloud seeding to bring down the pollution, but there are other ways of triggering precipitation.
I mean, that's definitely an interesting idea. I don't think it has been tried before. And the reason that, you know, fog stays on the ground is that it doesn't drop out, right? I mean, it's basically rain at least falls. I mean, fog stays up, and that's why it's foggy near the ground. If you can make the droplets bigger, right? I mean, rain happens when the droplets get large enough to drop to the ground. So fog droplets also need to be large enough, which probably, I don't know that it's been tried. But I've also been to Gurgaon recently in the same Delhi area, and there's a lot of haze without any fog. I mean, so again, you need the precipitation, you need moisture in the air for any of that to happen. But really the underlying solution is to cut down the sources of pollution. I mean, without that, I mean, if I think Professor Tripathi earlier alluded to basically not digging the well when the fire is already broken out, so you really need to start cutting down the sources of pollution well before they start accumulating.
Right.
Again, coming back to what Professor Rosenfeld said, that this happens because a lot of the air is trapped near the ground and the pollution really emissions build up inside, and so concentrations go up. So you really need to cut down the sources of pollution well before they build up to those dangerous levels. Currently, for example, we are implementing GRAP after the AQI threshold has been exceeded. So you really need to do this when you're forecasting well in advance, 3-4 days ahead, and cutting down the sources of pollution before they build up to these high levels of there are toxic levels.
Professor Tripathi, how would you respond to the points made by your fellow professors on this program who make the point that, look, the conditions we now see over the Indo-Gangetic Plain may not be ideal for cloud seeding? That's what Dr. Rosenfeld says.
No, I mean, Dan is right. I mean, I'm not saying that in the absence of cloud, you seed it. You need the cloud, and we were very much part of Kaipak's experiment. So I agree with him, but I also kind of say that, you know, some trial could be made, because he may be missing that during western disturbances you have a layer of clouds which form, and that could be seeded. Not I'm saying you do it now, but that's one possibility. The other thing, more interestingly, what he brought about is to do something with fog. And that's an interesting idea. But the only problem, as even our other fellow panelists pointed out, Subbu, is that, you don't have enough moisture. So these fog droplets are either very small or these are mostly dry particles with very little water around it. Now, I think, how do we grow them enough so that they sediment out? That also is something very interesting thing, and we need to probably probe it a little further.
Professor Tripathi, just listening to you, all the hope that I had when I started this program, thinking that we found a solution, all of you scientists are basically indicating that it's possible, but there is no quick fix solution. So for the countless people watching this program, hopefully, you're all sounding a bit disappointing. So, I mean, unfortunately, that's the fact, right? It's not happening tomorrow. It's not happening in a finite period of time. The science is still, in India at least, at its infancy.
I would like to add here that...
Professor, one second. Let me just go across to Professor Tripathi and then Professor Rosenfeld, you next. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's not all very, discouraging or rather sounding disheartening. I mean, Vishnu, we have been discussing for 5-6 years. And there has been a very clear trend that pollution levels have been decreasing in India, barring this one or 1.5 months. We should not say that anything has been done, it's all has not yielded any good result. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I would like to add here that mitigation pollution is a very long haul. It's not only with India, it's true with US, it's true with UK, it's true with Europe, and it's true with China, which is the latest success story, that even Chinese could cut down their PM2.5 by investing heavily in mitigation program, shifting some of their dirty energy to clean one in 15 years,
sure,
which is a very different regime. So we really need to wait a little bit more before we get. And that's where I think we need a more synergistic action, and we need greater political will.
Professor Rosenfeld, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree that mitigation of the air pollution is the best approach. But in the meantime, instances of heavy air pollution and heavy fog can be detrimental, not only to the health, but also to airports closure, transportation, and very localized fog clearing by very heavy seeding by hygroscopic particle that is like calcium chloride that was mentioned earlier in the introduction, can actually be clearing fog in a limited region and getting better visibility and depositing some of the air pollution. And that is something that I would recommend my colleagues in India to follow up on.
A final word, Dr. Subramaniam, do you believe that ultimately it's... the pace of government regulation in allowing this, which is actually coming in the way of us testing this out further?
I think, as Professor Tripathi said, there already have been experiments, right? So, and even for that, you need permissions. It's not like the government is not open to trying out new ideas. They do remain extremely emergency measures, right? I mean, even if you create rain for a short period of time, for a few hours, if you don't cut down the sources of pollution, the next day it's going to build up again, right? And so it's only a temporary band-aid, which essentially you can deploy. You don't want to keep on cloud seeding and dry. I mean, you'll eventually run out of moisture and there won't be, you'll have to wait till moisture builds up again, right?
Sure.
So it's a very temporary, I think this is basically sort of when the break glass emergency measure effectively is what it is. And there are certainly incredibly high toxic levels of pollution that you want to avoid. There are things that happen that like reduced visibility leading to cancellation of flights and things like that that make it unsafe for travel, for example, as Dan mentioned. But essentially, I think it's just an emergency measure. It's a stop, very temporary band-aid solution. So, you know, I mean, even before you think about going to, you know, whether it's government regulation or something, at the same time, we should also, you know, commend, you know, the actions taken by government at various levels that
right.
have led to, for example, reduction in fires in Punjab and things like that. So I think there's definitely long-term solutions that need to be put into
sure.
place.
All right.
New investments that are in place. So, you know, there's...
All long-term investments. I take your point, Dr. Subramaniam, and let's hope something or the other happens soon. What we are seeing on our screens right now isn't cloud seeding. It's just sprinkling water. We'd like to see a lot more rainfall in the days ahead. Thank you, sirs, very much for being with us. I'm going to continue with this topic. I'm joined by a very special guest, Gopal Shankar Narayanan, senior advocate of the Supreme Court, somebody who's been looking at this very closely at the courts, at the level of the Supreme Court, and has huge concerns, as do we all, on the situation. I thought, Gopal, what we would do is just go through some basic questions and answers and get your views on this. My first question,
yeah.
are true farm fire counts available to the Supreme Court presently?
The simple answer is no. There has been some very strong doubts cast on it by a group of researchers who have been following farm fires and how the toll has been, in fact, almost the same with hardly any decrease. What has happened is two satellites are the basis for the ICAR's noting how many of the fires are going on in Punjab during this period. Those two satellites cross the over the Punjab area twice a day. So for some reason, strangely, we have found that the farm fires have in fact shifted their times. So somebody has alerted the farmers themselves to the fact that these satellites capture these red dots on the map only at those two particular times. So there has been a comparison made with a Korean stationary satellite, which has shown in fact the high incidence of farm fires from about 12 o'clock in the afternoon towards later in the evening, keeping the numbers almost as stable as they were, very contrary to what was claimed by the Punjab government in court. The court has recorded this in an order passed yesterday and has sought a clarification and sought further reports on this.
Doesn't it strike you that, you know, accessing data from this Korean satellite is actually really easy? It's not rocket science. It's available for public use. And scientists with even basic understanding of how to access this data can do so. And yet it takes a crisis like this for this basic data, which has been available, I think, from 2018, to actually come to light. To me, in tracking this story for years, that seems dubious, to say the least.
You're absolutely right, Vishnu. I think a lot of it has to do with the will. If the government had hired scientists who were willing and intended to find out the truth, it would have been different. The government did not do that. We, in fact, had to take a very long, hard look at what was being uploaded on social media, compare it with other documentation until the actual facts came to light. The problem, Vishnu, and you're a Delhi resident as well, you've seen what's been happening. It's been going on for nearly 10 years and more, almost 14 years now. The major problem is the complete and utter lack of political will.
Yes.
We don't find this a political issue. We have almost never heard any political leaders talk about it at the national level because it is a large national problem now. It's not confined to the NCR. The NCR bears the brunt of it, but it's actually a fairly strong, big national issue. I haven't heard even the Prime Minister raise it even once. So I'm not surprised that there's nobody to take the lead and nobody to contest it, except for this strange blame game that goes on between the governments of Delhi and Punjab, largely until it's now both the same political party, so they blame the central government.
My next question on the issue of farm fires is action against officials for non-compliance of orders. Do you believe that that's something that needs to be done?
Absolutely. In this country, unless you make people who are individuals pay for their negligence and their oversight, which in many cases are deliberate, there is absolutely no point. You need the particularly the home ministries of Punjab, Haryana, UP to step up. We need the central government's environment ministry. We need the pollution control board officials. We need all of them to be held responsible. We need the CAQM, which is an organization which succeeded the EPCA. These were high-powered organizations which have been set up by the central government and the Supreme Court together, in fact, who have been given all the powers necessary to try and curtail this. It's been 22 years, 24 years and running, and nobody has taken any responsibility for anything.
Is Delhi's graded action plan effective in protecting citizens?
If you substitute the first letter of GRAP with another letter of the alphabet, you'll know what I think of it.
Be nice now, Gopal.
No, the thing is, I find it shocking that we even conceive of a program which is, when we are in an emergency situation like this, that you call a graded response action plan. There's no question of a graded response action plan when you have, on a consistent basis, more than 300 poisonous days a year. And we've had it for 14 years. What are we waiting for? What is this graded response action plan? We need hard measures, and it's going to be tough on all of us. I think it's up to the citizenry also to step up and say, look, we sit happily in air-conditioned homes with meters out and air purifiers. There's a ton of people who are out on the streets who don't have these benefits. But when you have cars plying, when you have two-wheelers who are completely unregulated, who are plying, when you have old vehicles plying, when you don't have any strong move towards public transport, and you see that India is doing nothing to follow the lessons that Beijing did to turn everything around in a short 4 or 5 year period, and you find politics at the heart of it all, willing to placate certain lobbies, then it becomes a very serious problem.
How long should graded action plans in Delhi last? I ask this because the Supreme Court has said that, look, we will now decide how long it lasts. I'm asking you for your opinion.
Yeah, my opinion, and not as an advocate, but as a citizen, is that it has to be permanent. The extreme level of graded action plan, which is GRAP 4, with many tweaks to it and additions to it, with mandatory prescriptions, have to be there all year around. I have absolutely no doubt about it. If you want to clean this part of the country up, you need to take tough measures. And these tough measures are not going to be light ones. They're going to be tough ones, which will involve all of us possibly moving towards public transport and taking what comes with it.
What do farmers do if they can't burn farm stubble?
So it's actually a very, it has a long history. So I'll just explain broadly what it is. Paddy, as you know, is not intrinsic to Punjab. There is a particular variety of paddy with a specific number, which has a very high yield, which is similar to basmati. It's not technically basmati at all, but it has a very strong stubble that comes up to about 2 or 3 feet. The big problem, number one, are two laws that Punjab and Haryana came out in 2009 and 10 with to try and settle their so-called water table problem. There's a big misconception that because paddy is a high water dependent crop, that it leads to falling water tables. That's not the fact. In fact, the water remains right there. Kerala, Tamil Nadu are instances of where, and Bengal, where you have rice yields and the water table hasn't gone down. But because of the law coming in, they have pushed the shed when you start harvesting the crop, because of which the burning, which used to happen even earlier before these laws, now happens later in the year because of the wind factors at play at that time, which is later in the year, which is now October, November, as against August, September earlier. You might notice that this coincides directly with those laws being made, that from 2011 onwards, we have had this huge cloud of smoke coming down over the Delhi airshed. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is the high level of mechanization that has happened in Punjab. Earlier, you used to have lots of labor, both local and migrant, who used to come and do the harvesting. So when they harvest low at the ground, you don't have to burn after that. But now, because you use these mechanized harvesters, they lop the stubble off at a high level. So you need after that to get rid of the stubble, which affects the ground and the crop. The third, which is very strongly suggested by many, is to crop diversify, to ensure that there are other crops like millets, etc., which are made attractive for the crops for the farmers to grow, so that they will possibly choose that. We have instances right now of paddy just lying, last year's paddy, lying in playgrounds of schools untouched and going rotten. So I don't understand this craze for paddy. If we had moved away from it and if the central government policy had moved towards that, it would be extremely helpful. These are two or three of the very brief things that I can tell you about the issue.
A final question, and then I have something to play out for you, get your reaction. Why can't India replicate the Beijing model?
I think India can if India had the will, but India doesn't have the will, and it's going to blame its form of government as the reason for why it can't. I genuinely think it can. And we couldn't expect a stronger leadership mode if they wanted to inflict things on us, which are inconvenient, like demonetization. They can surely do this. And we'd very voluntarily embrace it with a greater level of enthusiasm than we did demonetization.
I just want to go back to the point with which we started on the number of farm fires. The NASA scientist Hiren Jetwa, in a couple of interviews on this program, has made some important points. I want to play out a small chunk of what he said and revisit that point we started our discussion with. Hiren Jetwa wanted to come in. Go ahead, Dr. Jetwa. Yes.
Pardon me, but sir, it's not true that the fires have gone down over Punjab or even Haryana. That's not true, because
the central government agency data says so.
No, okay. So let me just tell you, we use this afternoon satellite overpass time data from NASA satellites, SOMI, NPP, and EQUA. Okay, they overpass the region around 1:30 to 2 p.m. But somehow, for some reason, farmers have learned that they can avoid, they can bypass that satellite overpass time, and they can burn the crop residue in the late afternoon. And that is confirmed by the South Korean geostationary satellite, that the majority of fires are occurring after 2 p.m. Once the NASA satellites overpasses the region, it has gone and there is no surveillance. But it cannot be, the fires cannot be hidden from the geostationary satellite, which takes the snapshot of the region every 5 minutes, every 10 minutes. And the total aerosol loading or the pollution loading, I looked at the data today morning. Actually, during the last 1 to 2 weeks, the pollution load has reached to the highest level that we haven't seen in the last more than one decade. So this is not true that the fires have gone down. Yes, it has gone down around certain time period between 12 to 2 p.m. But if you look at the geostationary images, you will see a plenty of fires after 2 p.m. and actually speaking around 4 to 4:30 p.m. Local time there.
Gopal, this is a massively credentialed man. He's a PhD from the Indian Institute of Science. He's a postdoctoral scholar from in the U.S. He's been with Morgan State University and is now with NASA. He's not randomly talking about anything.
No, he's not.
There are others who back his contention, right? He's come on record with a lot of data graphics. That he's not the only one, right?
No, he's not. This has been tracked by many scientists across the world, not only in India, but across the world. And they all echo what Hiren says. In fact, they have tagged him on their social media posts they put out. Credit to Hiren's work. He has done a lot of very, very good work for a long time in this area. This, for someone like him, is low-hanging fruit. It doesn't take much of an effort for, you know, well-credentialed scientists like this to just take a look at a stationary satellite and tell you what that stationary satellite is revealing to you. It's the most obvious thing. You see red dots right across, and you wonder how anybody can possibly tell you that, look, the farm fires have reduced. There are voluntary farmers who have chosen possibly not to set fire to their farms, but the numbers of fires remain almost the same. We have to calculate the level of acreage also that is being burnt. Eventually, after the window when the two satellites from which our national calculations are taken are reckoned, these fires would have gone away during that window when they have passed away from India. And so you just see the smoke. You don't know the number of fires that took place. And the fact that he tells you that it's been the highest in a decade should put paid to all these stories, politically driven ones, to which try and comfort us that things are getting better. I am sorry, but I've been in this space for more than 12 years now. We have been answering this in court. We have been taking advocacy to schools and colleges. We have been working on the ground with experts in science and health and doctors and everybody else. And we know that it's not really getting better. There may be very small compartments in which there are improvements, but unless something tough is done and immediately, it's not getting better.
A final question, and just briefly, the Supreme Court categorically stated yesterday that they are taking into account these assertions of inaccurate farm fires or an undercount of farm fires. If the truth does emerge, and it's now incumbent upon the government to actually provide the right data, then it will end a lot of inaccurate statements by political leaders in various state governments on what exactly is happening, right?
It will, Vishnu. I'm sure it will. As long as they get the accurate data, and the data is there, not only from one geostationary satellite, but from others, it will silence those political leaders. I would also look forward to some political leaders who have remained silent for a long time speaking out about this issue.
Right. Gopal, we'll leave it over there. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts at a critical time in the National Capital Region.